stop fiddling with that atomic pile and come down here.
Catapult of propaganda.
The truth out there.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to the day after Memorial Day.
Not the day after tomorrow.
No, hardly at all, because it was 85 degrees today, and I don't think that we've got an ice storm in sight.
No. Essentially, the first day of summer, although the way we usually gauge it here in the bunker, is the day when I finally admit that the Cubs are so far out of first place that they'll never catch up for the rest of the summer. That's when summer officially begins. This year, it happens to be today.
Yes. The boys of summer indeed.
Yeah. Well, instead of their annual June swoon this year, the Cubs did their May...
No play.
Yeah. No play in May. So they are, just when does football season start again?
There's no joy in Cubsville, is there?
No. Well, it is May the 30th of 2006, and we've got the second part of our two-part interview with Captain Eric May of Ghost Troop coming up. We'll talk a little bit about what he sees coming during this summer of 2006, perhaps as soon as 6-6 of 06. That's worth listening for.
Speaking of 666.
Yes?
The Beast movie.
Yes.
Is a no-show.
You know, that was really interesting. I discovered that by accident today because I was going to their forum. There's an official website for the movie, an official forums there, and logged in, signed in. I'm now a registered member.
Congratulations,
yes,
honey.
And we get a mention on the Beast Forum, by the way. Thanks. We'll give you guys a shout out. Thanks for the mention.
Go Beast.
Yeah. Raving Fundies, say hello. And there was an official post that was dated April the 15th, 6 weeks ago, that said the movie will not be released on 6-6 of 06. Further details to come. And I searched because I wanted to be accurate in talking about this tonight, and I cannot find any further details, although I did find a mention at another forum elsewhere that said it may be another year or more before the movie is out.
Okay. First of all, if there is a movie, if there was ever going to be a movie, this is the time to launch it. This is the time to have your debut. And I can't believe that any distributor in their right minds wouldn't have jumped all over that movie to pick it up and run with it to open on 666.
That is correct. If there was a movie in the can, the dollar signs would be too tempting for some distributor somewhere not to grab it and stick it in a few theaters. So our guess is that this movie was vaporware.
Sci-fi would have run it.
Possibly.
Sci-fi.
So,
you know what?
Speaking of sci-fi, yes. Now, since it's not coming out on 6-6, we look ahead to 6-10 of 06. We get to see St. Louis Bunkerville destroyed by a black hole.
Again?
Yes, well,
it happens here every year.
It was, the Cardinals self-destructing in the World Series against the Red Sox.
No, actually, this is a movie that's going to be on Sci-Fi, and the cast.
Yes, the dean. Well, he's actually the up-and-coming dean. I guess you'd call Lance Henriksen the dean of B-movies, the dean of Sci-Fi originals.
He is becoming that, isn't he?
Yeah, which is sad because we love Dean.
Well, actually, you know, Michael Caine did it. Sean Connery's done it. I mean, you know, B-movie still pays you out of paychecks.
Yeah, I have one question. Is there a script? Yes. Okay, I'll do it. So, anyway, Judd Nelson and Christy Swanson, who is the original Buffy, she played Buffy in the movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer, will star in Black Hole, which is basically about a particle accelerator at a laboratory in St. Louis that goes haywire, creates a miniature black hole that destroys the city, and then, if that's not bad enough, some sort of monster comes through the portal. Which will probably, I think, it'd be
sharp,
really cool.
Pointy teeth.
Yes. And so this trans-dimensional monster comes through the portal and eats up the rest of the eastern half of Missouri. So it puts the state out of its misery. So we've got that to look forward to. 8 Central Time on June 10th. That's a Saturday night, a sci-fi original starring Judd Nelson and Christy Swanson.
That is exciting. Of course, that's plus 2 days after the Russian oil bourse opens up on June 8th. So that'll be exciting. We'll all be looking forward to that because, that should be about the time that the oil bourse is closing down.
I don't know. I think Mr. Putin is going to play that card for all it's worth. And I think that's going to be a very interesting development on the world economic stage.
Well, he's going to be Vlad the Assailer this summer because
that's a good one.
when the G8 meets with him at the head, because he's the president of the G8 this year, and of course those are the developed nations that are going to be meeting, talking about energy.
Yes,
and he wants to be the emperor of not of the North, of course. He wants to be the emperor of the entire world. I think
there was a story out showing with a picture showing the EU foreign policy minister Javier Solana, whom some, Constance Cumby in particular, believes is the Antichrist, Javier Solana meeting with Vladimir Putin to discuss gas policy because the EU desperately wants the gas from Russia, natural gas, in order to make sure that they don't freeze this coming winter.
Well, that's where Super Cheney comes in because he's going he flew over to Kazakhstan.
Yep. And spoke with President, I believe it's Nuriyev, and I'm probably massacring his name because I don't have it right in front of me. But Kazakhstan is one of those key Central Asian states around the Caspian Sea that has lots and lots of petro resources, natural gas in particular. And the United States and the EU would love to see a pipeline that bypasses Russia and goes right to the EU. And Vladimir says, niet. Not going to happen.
Nope.
So it will be interesting to see how that all plays out. But it's key, once again, that Central Asia is the place where the world's fortunes are being determined.
Well, that's true. Well, in other news, John Muhammad, remember the sniper, the Washington Beltway sniper? Well, he was found guilty on all counts today for the 6 slayings in Montgomery County. I'm not sure if he's going on to other counties because it seems like there were 4 or 5 different counties that they had they'd shot people in and that they were going to have to go from one to the other to the other. It's been a while on this. I think this story has kind of gone down the memory hole the black hole in St. Louis. Apparently, Prime Minister Tony Blair from the UK has been over here. He's probably gone back home by now, but he was speaking to Georgetown over the weekend. Georgetown University.
Yes, Eric John Phelps would find this very interesting. Prime Minister Blair gave a speech at Georgetown on Friday. The reason Mr. Phelps would find it interesting is because that's, of course, a Jesuit university.
Mm-hmm.
And at this speech, he laid out his plan, his vision for a total revamping of the world's governmental bodies. We're talking about the UN, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and a revised and expanded role for the G8 nations.
That's right.
That's very interesting that he would make such a speech and do it significant, we think, that he would do it at Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Georgetown has a very strong political science department, foreign policy training center there.
Many people
who go on to careers in foreign policy, diplomats and so forth, are trained at Georgetown University.
Very much so. And so it's really not all that surprising that he would be giving a speech there. But for him to be making this sort of speech, outlining a whole new world body at a point when he is at his weakest, at home. It's a little bit surprising. He has no political collateral. Or does he?
Makes one
Maybe
wonder.
He's thinking after the prime ministership that he can go on to something else.
Something larger. Well, it's the kind of thing that we've speculated about Bill Clinton for some time. You know, does he think that he could become the next Secretary General of the United Nations, perhaps.
Or the Kwisatz Haderach. That's
yes, right.
Or as we call it here in the bunker, the Ersatz
Hat-Rack. Yes. Here in the United States, which is the bunker plus a little extra real estate, we tend to think of propaganda as stuff that happens in other places. That was the kind of thing that the Germans had to deal with under Goering in the 1930s.
Oh, yeah.
This is the kind of thing the Russians get from their state-controlled media.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
this is what the Chinese get.
It's real.
That's right. That's right. Comes word now from the Independent in the UK We're not seeing this from the so-called independent media sources here in the U.S. The U.K. is reporting that the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, is investigating dozens of American television stations for basically taking stories that were prepared and packaged by the United States government and running them as news.
What?
Now, this kind of thing has gone on for years. I mean, you could go back to the Spanish-American War and William Randolph Hearst, the inspiration for Citizen Kane, and the stories that he fabricated about the Spanish in order to generate the Spanish-American War. You could, you know, the Army PSYOPs in World War II. All the movies, that war movies that came out in World War II that showed the Japanese as just really nasty, ugly, and, you know, Germans as really nasty, mm-hmm. ugly, cruel mm-hmm. people. PSYOPs, all PSYOPs. But this is really blatant. And we knew that the United States military was doing this in Iraq. This came out recently.
News affiliates.
Yes.
All over the...
Yeah, I think whoever wrote the story was kind of having a little fun there by using the word faux in their F-A-U-X, because uh-huh. that's something that the left-wing moonbats have been calling Fox News Channel for a long time.
Oh, I know that.
But at least 77 television stations are under investigation now for using these stories over a period of 10 months, including one which I'm sure that we saw at some point, which featured an Iraqi-American in Kansas City after Baghdad fell in 2003 saying, "Thank you, America. Thank you, Bush." And I'm certain that we saw, and as you mentioned, it might even been, another example might have been, and we don't know this for a fact, but it's the stories that were circulating of the Iraqi-Americans showing their thumbprints.
Oh, yeah.
You know, their inked thumbs.
Well, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond politics. Imagine that you're sitting there watching a piece on, this brand new medicine that just came out for, that cures, let's just say, bird flu.
Yeah.
And this company XYZ just came out and has this fabulous new concoction that mm-hmm. that studies show is 90% effective against bird flu. That's great. Mm-hmm. So this is a news story that we've reported on.
Right.
And so when in fact XYZ had actually put it together, and mm-hmm. it was nothing more than propaganda from a pharmaceutical company.
And the pharmaceuticals, as we talked before, have a lot of influence with what happens inside the United States government. But so there are two factors here, two things about this story that are disturbing. Number one is that the United States government is spending a lot of time and money to fabricate news items in order to influence the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
Propaganda, 1930s Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is that there are broadcast outlets in the mainstream media that are carrying these stories with no disclaimer that this stuff was handed to them by a government agency.
No, but you know, that shouldn't really surprise us when you look at who owns the media.
Mm-hmm. They're the guys who are connected to the people in power. They don't have any interest at all in upsetting the status quo. They have nothing to gain by doing that.
Right. And, you know, we're not saying that the guy who hits the button to play the news report is in any way complicit. This guy or gal is just doing his or her job.
Yeah.
But it's the people up the chain that are making the decisions. That stinks.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, you say commercial, we'll probably get more truth out of the commercials because at least you know it's a commercial.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of the way we think about things, I think as Americans, we need to step back and take a good hard look at what's going on in the United States and the way we are being governed. There has been a fundamental shift in the way this administration views the Constitution. And we've said this before, but I read an op-ed piece this morning by a gentleman named Mark Anderson that really caused the forehead slap moment for me. You know, it's like, duh, why didn't I see this before?
I know, there's a handprint on
your forehead.
There's
a round mark right on my forehead, which, you couldn't tell today, though, because it was like Cubs. But he wrote a very interesting piece which put this administration's view of the Bill of Rights in a historical context. The Fourth Amendment of the Constitution protects us against unreasonable searches and seizures, which in our modern age, we could reasonably expect that to include our email and our telephones. Okay? This was designed into the Bill of Rights to protect us from government agents barging into our home anytime they wanted and searching through our stuff, looking for anything that might incriminate us.
Mm-hmm.
That is why they are required by the Fourth Amendment to have probable cause and a warrant that details what they're looking for and where they intend to search for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, back in February, the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, told the Senate Judiciary Committee that, and I quote, "The key question under the Fourth Amendment is not whether there was a warrant, in other words, probable cause, but whether the search was reasonable, end quote. In other words, the key now is not showing a court that they have probable cause to search your home. All they have to do is say, well, we conducted a reasonable search.
It all depends on what is.
Yes, that's the key right there. Because yeah. if the executive branch then now retains for itself the right to determine what is a reasonable search, because we don't need probable cause. If they say that it's a reasonable search, then they don't need no stinking warrant.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge shift, and it totally has escaped, I think, the majority of the American public.
Oh, I think it has, too. Really, well, let's face it, the majority of the American public, you know, I know that it would be really easy to say, oh, these people are just not paying any attention. You know what? Most of these people are just trying to earn a living.
Well, exactly. And that's and my point is that, you know, it was just today that it really kind of snapped into place
for me. Oh, I know.
And we've been talking about this for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And I think our listeners are probably in the same boat. They're, oh, gosh. When did we lose the Constitution?
Exactly. But Mark Anderson really drove the point home. He says, and I will quote here, King George III... in order for King George III's deputies to enforce his laws, Parliament passed the Writs of Assistance Act. Now, Writs of Assistance were warrants that were so general that they allowed the king's agents to go wherever they wanted, whenever they wanted, and for whatever reason they wanted. That's kind of like our national...
Like a legal skeleton key.
Yeah, well, like national security letters.
Oh,
now.
Exactly
yeah.
like so, that.
Continuing, Writs of Assistance were basically licenses for the king's men to oppress the colonists. It was the Writs of Assistance that spawned the Revolutionary War. The Founding Fathers prevailed in the war against the crown. The Founders gave us the Bill of Rights, which includes the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment condemns the concept of general warrants, end quote. Skip ahead to this past February. Attorney General Gonzalez says, no, we don't need warrants. We just need to tell you that the search was reasonable. Our ancestors fought a war over this.
Reasonable to
issue.
Whom?
Well, reasonable to the executive branch.
Exactly.
In other words,
well, you know, we thought you was doing evil.
They are cutting all of the links between the other branches of government, the checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen their intimidation tactics against mm-hmm. the legislative branch over the past week.
Mm-hmm.
And we see in this piece from Mark Anderson today very clearly how it is basically telling the judicial branch to mm-hmm. back off. You don't have any oversight over who we decide to spy on,
Alaska's
who we decide to
looking
arrest.
Really good. I know it's still part of the United States, but they're not so sure about that up there.
Yeah, Yukon territory might be better, actually.
Anyway,
that really struck hard with me today. I'll put a link to his column in the show notes at PIDradio.com. But boy, that really stings when you read that and you see, you know, our presidential administration that we conservative Christians voted into office has basically turned the Bill of Rights on its head. And they are arguing now that they can do something that we fought a war against King George III caused us to go to war against King George III. So
well,
it's just,
you know, speaking of George and speaking of wars, we've got part two with Captain Eric May for you today. And we know you're going to enjoy this. Derek had a wonderful chat with him, and he's a gentleman, and he, you know what, he is, he's one of those honest guys.
You may disagree with his analysis, but you cannot disagree with the fact that he's sincere in his mission mm-hmm. and his concern is the protection of the country that he loves.
Exactly. The very things that we talk about here, he is out there, you know, every day slugging, trying to get back to what we thought we had when I grew up in the 60s.
Amen.
50s and 60s. I thought, okay, well, the Constitution, that means that we have freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does freedom mean? What does it mean? Well, here's part two with Captain Eric May.
We'll pick up where we left off yesterday with Captain May of Ghost Troop. He had just mentioned Beaumont, and want to talk about an operation or a code phrase that you've used, 9112B. What exactly is that?
Well, 9112B has become a series of missions that Ghost Troop has run, and we'll get into them in a moment, all surrounding a central thesis. Understand, my last command, I spent 5 years at the 75th Division doing advanced war games. I was an opposing forces commander, op four guy, specialized in being a bad guy for high-level war games. And 9112B presupposes that in order for the Bush regime to continue with its war and to continue to avoid evaluation for the original 9-1-1 event, The only thing that will work for them is a second 911 event, which will allow them to finish up whatever rights and privileges remain to the public and to lock down a tight control on the Internet, assume a thermonuclear war posture, and establish a permanent dictatorship with conscription. In other words, take full mobilization would be the result of a 911 to be. We have had the thoughts for the last 2 years, in fact, the confirmation for the last 2 years, that the Bush administration is setting up that next stage of terror attack. Now, the reason we call it 911-2B is because, of course, Phase 2 or Part B suggests a follow-up. But 2B also is kind of there because it's what they keep telling us is that it's going to be. You know, mm-hmm. It's a 911-2-B, 2B. And that's why the media, you'll notice, constantly tells us, oh, once a week at least, but even more sometimes, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And mm-hmm. the 911 attack that is coming, we've actually been involved in working with four times. And I guess I should tell them about that, mm-hmm. G.T. Derrick.
Sure.
Well, you've been there for the last two, so we'll come to them presently. But it all started, I told your listeners the last time that we discussed Ghost Troop, that the first year of Ghost Troop had been dedicated to the memory of fallen soldiers who were covered up by the media. Mm-hmm. But while doing that first year of service with Ghost Troop myself, I became much more aware of things through the Internet. Many of you have experienced that. And I kind of woke up to 911 because we had a Marine captain who'd been a 911 witness join Ghost Troop. And, you know, because he was a brother officer and he'd actually been there, it wasn't too hard for me to start thinking it was possible. And then suddenly the Madrid bombings happened about the time that I had fully awakened to 911. At this time, I'd been about 11 months into the info war, all of it spent on the cover-up at Baghdad. And very quickly after Madrid, some of you people, since you do numerics and coding, mm-hmm. Your listeners may know that there were 911 days between 911 and Madrid.
Now, Madrid, the date of the Madrid bombing was 311?
Yeah, so 911 and 311 are related numbers because of 9, the square root is 3, and 3 squared is 9. So you have really the same number, 911, 311, with 911 days between it. That registered so heavy for us, those of us who had intelligence background, that we started breaking code then. We started figuring that there was actually an embedded code within media that was being carried. We already knew the media was completely corrupt and was a... The media is a propaganda asset, man. When you turn on TV at home, folks, all you're doing is picking out the liar you want to see tell you bullshit. Excuse my French, but that's all they're there for. That's all they're there for. So since we knew they were utter liars, it didn't shock us that they were coding. And we call that the embedded code. The first instance in which we caught the embedded code in Ghost Troop was Madrid. Mm-hmm. But when Madrid happened, you didn't have to read embedded code to understand that Fox News started setting up a story that Al-Qaeda had a suitcase nuke from the former Soviet Union and Israel assassinated Sheikh Yassin on the cult day for the Skull and Bones, 322.
Right, right.
And, the nuke and the suitcase story popped out, and you could just see it coming. And then they started in Houston. The Bush family is from Houston, and this happens to be where I live and have spent my life. It became very apparent to me down here that they were getting ready to do the nuclear 9/11. But we didn't know the code. We didn't have the code 911-2B at that point, but we thought they were setting something up. I had been working for the Houston Chronicle on the idea that the Houston port area, the metropolitan refinery districts outside Houston, would be a perfect terror target. This was back when I thought the Al-Qaeda was Al-Qaeda, and now I think it's Al-CIA.
Right.
But so it occurred to me that Houston was a very likely target. Well, we started predicting on about 2 days after Madrid, March 13th, we started predicting on the basis of the news cycle and the basis of our code breaking on the numeric signals. And there were a lot of them there. I can get into them if you want me to. But we decided that it would be 331. The next 9/11 attack or a radical terror attack would be in the Houston metro area on 331. That terror attack happened at the British Petroleum refinery, Texas City, on 330. We were off one day. And instead of being a nuke, what it looks like to us is they did an abort code event and they just killed a dozen people. But that's what happened within one day of the Ghost Troop prediction. And that prediction was not silent. That prediction registered with the local media here. They were scared to death with the stuff we were telling them, too. The local media here called up FBI National. FBI National put the Gulf Coast in this area under a Gulf Coast regional alert on March 25th, 2004. That was on the basis of fire alarms.
Mm-hmm.
So we discovered right then, if we can get media who don't know that they're not supposed to be doing their job, or we can get the public, you know, to be aware and concerned, then they can crash through all the systems meant to keep people from waking up. And we did that. It turned out that 12 people died a day off our prediction. So that was our first confirmed prediction. The next one that we made was July of 2005. And again, one day off our prediction, there was a British Petroleum Texas City explosion.
Mm-hmm.
We predicted 727, July 27th. It happened July 28th. Incidentally, the July 27th prediction that I made on July 1st. A week before London, which was 7-7, you know, July 7th.
Right, right.
So well, you get good enough at reading their codes that you can actually predict a month in advance sometimes. That was the longest range prediction, again, off by a day. Now, the next one you were part of, we predicted specifically beginning on the 19th of January of this year that Bush would make an attempt on Texas City on January 31st, 131.
Right.
Madrid numbers, by the way, 131.
Mm-hmm.
Just anagrammed. Instead of 311, you get 131. Well, you, I think, came in at that point, Derek, and you realized that the local paper, the Galveston County Daily News, actually published a story on February the 2nd, 2 days after our prediction, saying that, indeed, the day after our prediction, this wild Internet prediction that had everybody scared to death, for no apparent good reason, with no apparent excuse, just apparently coincidentally to hear the FBI and Homeland Security talk about it, nuclear weapons team just happened to be setting up shop right next to Texas City. And that had the locals a little concerned.
Now, what purpose would a team like that serve?
They were day after nuclear assets. They were found the day after our prediction. We predicted a 131 hit.
Mm-hmm.
On 2-1, a day after nuclear team was there. It's called a Weapons of Mass Destruction Civil Support Team, WMDCST. And their whole doctrinal function, what they're created for, is to go to a place that's been hit and measure the level of contamination and damage the day afterwards. They're a day after forensics element.
Would they...
In other words, the fact that they were there, man, suggests strongly that the 131 date that we said Bush would be trying to nuke Texas City to say Al-Qaeda didn't start a war,
mm-hmm.
It suggests strongly that that was an option because the very people who should have been there the day after Texas City got nuked were there. Now, important point here. The thing that had everybody shocked, even my Houston Police Criminal Intelligence Division contact, Sergeant John Karsher, he and I have been buddies since the first Texas City mission back in March of 2004. Karsher didn't know these people were going to be there. And he's the biggest metro intelligence cop north of Texas City. It's only 40 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
They were there by surprise, and the exercise they were running was a nuclear incident exercise off the East Coast that didn't involve Texas City. So you've got a rogue element from a unit, from an exercise they're not even supposed to be in Texas City to represent, doing a nuclear strike scenario against Texas City. And the only inkling anybody would have had with this was this crazy Internet report by a guy who claimed to be military intelligence with a unit claiming to be Ghost Troop who said the Texas City was set up. But what does it look like to you?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out here. It looks like somebody was there for something that didn't happen for some reason.
Well, yes, that's why they set them up. They always look. Man, most of the people who do these exercises, what they have done is the easiest thing in the world to do. You try to make all training as realistic as possible. That's mm-hmm. a military axiom. Good training looks as real as possible.
Right.
So what's the most realistic training of all? Get some people there to run an exercise that involves the nuking of a city and nuke it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will immediately click into their training. Nobody's going to ask questions. If anybody asks questions, just say, we found out Al-Qaeda might do it. That's why we had the exercise. You
now,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now,
the easiest way to get everybody there that you need to do it is to run an exercise suggesting that it's going to be done.
Which goes back to 9/11
and
London, in which they were holding exercises in both of those locations when they were hit. Who would have been notified or who should have been notified if this were really a nuclear terror exercise? Would not the Houston police have been notified?
Oh, yeah, here's the deal, man. Look, and here's where it's advantageous for me to have an institutional public affairs background. And by the way, to have run public relations for some pretty high-powered media outfits. I mean, I know how information gets around. The only way this could have happened the way it happened was that nobody was told.
Mm-hmm.
It was. This isn't even information just leaking out without public information or public affairs effort. This is purposeful suppression of public affairs or public information. It's the same thing that happened in Chicago recently, which we'll get to.
Yes.
But in other words, they were shutting up. These exercises, folks, a little bit, for those of you who are hearing me nationwide, look, it's time to wake up and look hard at what exercises are being simulated. Whatever they're simulating may very well be being set up. And don't think if you're in a red state that means you're immune. Au contraire, mon frere, if you're in a state where these guys are in control and trusted, you're more likely.
Mm-hmm.
So the exercise scenarios are always the things that are meant to possibly go live. So okay. That's how they did it in London. You know, London being so recent, you'll perhaps almost remember that one of the people who was running contract exercises who didn't know to shut his mouth said, "Oh, my God, this is incredible. Exactly the thing we were rehearsing is what happened."
I mean, yeah.
And this was one of the organizers of one of the, you know, contract firms that's doing some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It looked like there was a bonanza of money going around, and the training scenario happened. And, boy, you know what? I'll bet you England's going to be the same way as America, which is that there will be no questions and there will be no official sanctions. As long as everybody keeps their mouth shut, they'll get a raise, a promotion, and a medal.
Well, we've seen some very disturbing signs that that's the case. That poor fellow who got shot in the head down in the London Underground.
Oh, 4 or 5 times?
Yeah.
Knocked down.
Right.
Know?
And turned out that he had no connection to anything that he was accused of at first.
Well, except maybe a British police enemies list.
Possibly. It almost looked like an exercise. But if after Texas City, now of course Houston is a prime target.
Let me describe why. We'll go from Texas City and drift up to Chicago, which you were also part of.
Right, right.
You know, all through. The obvious thing, I say obvious at this point. Look, we were chosen by God for a purpose. We've kind of accepted that, you know, like many people who've been involved in any kind of combat, cyber combat, submarine warfare, you know, after a while you kind of figure that you're in the hands of something greater. It just so happens that Ghost Troop headquarters, you might say, is my hindquarters. Where I sit is where Ghost Troop headquarters is. And that happens to be in Houston. That's where I've spent my life. Grew up here, you know, ran off to the Army when I was young, but always came back here. My kids are here. My family's here. It just so happens that this is also the city onto which the Bush family grafted itself after 41's presidency, you know, Pa, mm-hmm. Pa Bush. And they came down here. And it's only very great, you know, fortune, God's blessing has made it such that we're right here where we need to be, because this is the primary target zone. Once you accept that there are dark, sadistic, satanic forces here, and that there's a crime familia here, and there are conspiratorial elements, you know, war profiteers, the kind of people who are always present in every war. Once you accept that, and you accept that there could be a need to blow up a town to keep this thing going, well, we already know what happened the first time. They did it in New York. So the question becomes, what city do you set up?
Mm-hmm.
And since Bush crime family headquarters is Houston, you know, it's like arson, man. If you're an arsonist, the easiest thing to burn down is your house.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a murderer, you're probably going to start on your rich aunt. You know, the most proximate is the easiest. So Houston was the first setup, Houston Metro, which controls Texas City. Texas City was the actual specific target, but Houston was the regional control.
Mm-hmm.
After we shut them down in Texas City, I say we shut them down. Look, we got the alarm out real wide, folks, international a lot of times. And that you can't nuke a city and say Al-Qaeda did it if there are international reports by your own former intelligence people saying you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, you spoil the surprise. You mess the surprise party up. So Ghost Troop is a unit of party poopers. We want to keep blowing out the surprise party of 911 to be. We shut it down so many times in Texas City that they tried to take it north to Chicago. And that's where we were talking about. That was actually, Chicago was an expected move, because we had found out that there may have been an attempt to set up the Chicago Sears Tower back on April 19th, 2004, which was, by the way, the 9th anniversary since Oklahoma City and the 11th anniversary since Waco. So you see, yeah, and that'd been set up. You know, Larry Silverstein, the guy who owned the tower, was in on the purchase of the Sears Tower.
Right.
The guy who owned the World Trade Center. So these same elements had come together. They had coded, they number-coded the Sears Tower zip code as 666.
Right,
60606.
Right,
Which was when, after the Texas City mission of January 31st, 2006, this year, I began casting around with the ideas they might go back to a secondary, they might look for a secondary target. And Bush very quickly gave a speech where he said that the, what he called the Liberty Tower, he meant the Library Tower in Los Angeles, had been a terror target.
Right.
That led me to start looking at towers, and I realized that Chicago's Sears Tower and Liberty Tower, L.A., had both been so-called al-Qaeda targets since 9-1-1 itself, and very quickly afterwards.
You know, interestingly enough, in the movie Independence Day, the Library Tower, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the buildings
it's
that was shown.
Building.
Yeah, that was the one that was shown as being destroyed with all the people on top of the tower.
Well, I've got to tell you, since you went there for a second, Independence Day was a psychological operation intended to prepare the public for what they were going to do. Independence Day starts off with a Texas fighter pilot president in the White House.
Right.
And the first day of Independence Day involves vaporizations of a New York tower of note, the Empire State Building, and a vaporization of the Library Towers, or rather, excuse me, Liberty, the Library Tower, L.A., which means the first day of Independence Day starts with two vaporized towers.
Right.
And the second day of Independence Day, by the way, since we work with the movie, too, look, this is nothing new, folks. This is just deep propaganda. The Germans did World War II. We did World War II. What I'm saying is that the media of the U.S. knew that this war was coming a decade in advance. Mm-hmm. Independence Day set it up. Do you know what they have to do day two of Independence Day to get serious with the threat?
Well, let's see. There was a nuke that they tried
they
to blow up over Houston.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Right. In other words, man, what better way to have a war plan than to put it on the theater?
Well, it's a Masonic thing. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they actually do it.
You're very right there. But Independence Day, for those of your viewers who want to watch it, who are listening to what we're talking about now, we could have a whole special on that, what we call InfoWar movies.
Mm-hmm.
But Independence Day is one of the most obvious ones, because Independence Day was actually marketed as ID4, Independence Day, July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
It was marketed as ID4.
Right.
And ID4, of course, means identification for something else. Independence Day was a war messiah extermination movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was the extermination of an evil alien that had sneaked up on us. And by the way, Independence Day is all about embedded messages in the media. Do you remember that's what the aliens do?
Yep.
In other words, all the concepts we're talking about, if you want to get another commentary on them, just go get Independence Day, and you see how many things you figure out. Last thing, when they upload the virus into the alien ship, is a skull and bones popping on a computer.
That's right.
In other words, when you say the Masons, and you know the kind of little games we're talking about, the Illuminatism, it's all over that.
Yes.
So anyway, we knew that towers were a possible secondary target to the... We knew that Houston was number one because we'd been involved in it. We weren't guessing. But we knew that towers were a good secondary, so I put the guess out that Sears Tower would be the target on 666, June 6, 2006. And I published an article on the 30th of March, 3:30. By the way, that was a Masonic, that was an insult against them because that's one of their holy days. So I published an article predicting that their next target would be Sears Tower 666, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was that we found out that the government was setting up a 9/11 Chicago 9/11 exercise behind the public's back, and instead of setting it up, we thought maybe, you know, June 6th, the 666 thing. Forget that. They were setting it up May 2nd through 4th. It just happened a couple of weeks ago. We found about that because of internet intelligence that was shared with us, and I called up Indiana, Illinois National Guard public affairs officers and the Chicago Police public information officers and confirmed that indeed this is. We found this out 4/26 is when I confirmed it.
Mm-hmm.
I got the reports around April 23rd. I got the reports the 26th. I made the calls. The 27th, after we'd made the calls and published a red alert, we published a red alert, Chicago 9/11, nuclear 9/11 exercise is coming. We published that, and the next day the governor finally gets around to issuing a press release saying, oh, yes, by the way, there are going to be exercises. Now, don't get worried. We don't mean to do anything but exercise. In other words, they issued pretty much a point denial, but they issued an alert. They finally did their job only because we broke in on their cycle. Their job was not to let the public know.
Right.
So the day after we catch them, they let the public know, and in the press release from the governor's office, this is Governor Blagojevich.
Blagojevich.
Say it again?
Blagojevich.
Okay, is that how you pronounce it?
I grew up in Chicago around a lot of Polish and Lithuanian folks.
That's good. anyway, we found out not only did they have the exercises scheduled for the 2nd through 4th, but the exercises, this is the 2nd through 4th of May, the exercises involved a dirty bomb used on one of the towers, which would afterwards collapse. So they were, folks, just get ready. Maybe the only way they can prop up that sagging story of how the towers collapsed counterintuitively is to do the whole doggone thing again. Well, they say that dirty Bin Laden, he did it twice. Now who doubts it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that may be the best approach, and it looks like they were thinking about it because they were rehearsing in Chicago, and we think it was going to go live. By the way, I've also found out they're rehearsing that in several cities. They seem to be working with the specific building collapse thing. It's a good image for them. It's a good get-the-public-mad image, so I like to set it up.
Well,
anyway, the day that they were supposed to go nuclear on Chicago, that this was being set up in the exercise scenario, which, remember, at any time can go live, that's what they're doing. They're giving themselves chances to go live. That very day that exercise was going to, we think, go live, it just so happens that the Mayor Daley of Chicago happened to be with Israeli security forces in Israeli security headquarters doing Israeli security things. And it doesn't make us feel secure to think that for the first time in his career, the Chicago mayor happened to be with the Israeli Mossad at the time that somebody, we're not going to name names, looks like they wanted to blow up Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how that wound up, and you were part of that every step of the way. That winding up in May made us think, okay, where next? Mm-hmm. Here's our scenario. Bush is so out of gas that the only thing that gives anybody who supports him any hope is the idea that maybe he can nuke his own country to get us into this World War III whole hog. That's the only chance this guy has got. I don't care where you are or what you think he's done. Whatever you think he's done is probably enough to get him impeached and imprisoned, or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy has to have an event. So we're going one target after another, and now we're thinking that the most likely place being set up is at Beaumont, Texas. That's, instead of being 40 miles south of Houston, the control region, like Texas City. Texas City is 40 miles to our south.
Mm-hmm.
Beaumont is 90 miles to our east. In other words, both of them come within the operational control of Houston headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Still
part
very
of the
close.
Family apparatus.
Still a very industrial area, an important port. In fact, isn't Beaumont Port Arthur the place where a lot of military hardware, armored equipment gets loaded onto vessels for transport?
Yeah, in fact, I've taken some convoys over to Germany through there with my equipment. We went through the port of Beaumont. So it's
okay.
A military port, heavy into the petrochemicals. ExxonMobil is probably as large a petrochemical interest in Beaumont, where at headquarters worldwide, as all the other petrochemical interests put together.
It's basically
a festering sore of petrochemical contamination. It's just south of the original Spindletop hit.
Okay.
In like 5 miles south of the Spindletop hit.
Okay.
So you're talking about Texas oil country, southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And what it looks like to us, we found out May 13th that there had been a bomb call out to ExxonMobil headquarters, Beaumont. And afterwards, suspicious packages had been found out there, and there'd been a big to-do about it, where Port Arthur Coast Guard was involved, Jefferson County Sheriffs were involved, FBI was involved. You sent me, I think, a Homeland Security report, didn't you?
Well, it was from the fellows at the Northeast Intelligence Network, which
is... Oh, no, they gleaned it from HomeSecca.
I believe so, yeah. They had their own investigators who reported back to them. It wasn't through official channels.
Well, no. First off, we get confirmation via Homeland Security sources, then you say independently confirmed. That's good. So we have confirmation of the story that I got. And by the way, I got mine from military intelligence folks who were concerned that maybe the FBI or somebody was setting something up like Texas City and Beaumont this time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, when they do these drills, man, they're rehearsing. They're figuring out, you know, what information protocols work, who got off the topic, who asked questions, you know, who did what wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go through preliminaries before they can set up a big terrorist strike. So a military contact who is, you know, also motivated by conscience, as I am, I want a mission of conscience, a military contact sent it to me with the idea that this is exactly the kind of thing that could be used to set something up. So we were quite we're not surprised, but we found out the FBI won't issue a press statement to clarify what they've done is squelch the media out in the area and intimidate everybody into not asking questions. I took the story statewide when I published, I think, a week ago. No, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago Monday, I published an article out of Australia about it. Everybody in the state wanted that story, man. I mean, editors wanted the story, they wanted a copy to the news desk, and they wanted a copy to their wife's email. Or, you know, the secretary wanted the story and wanted a BCC copy for her. And, you know, in other words, they were treating it like hot news. But local media, all of a sudden, everybody gets a yellow streak and nobody wants to cover it. So, shucks, it looks like a cover-up to me. So that's
don't
what
want to alarm
working.
Anyone, yeah.
And this all comes under the province of what we started when I said that back on 3:30, March 30th, I published an article saying that there would be an attempt on a Sears Tower 666. We started talking about a kind of doomsday mission 666, where we just knew that we were going to have to battle the Bush boys all the way across, you know, here to Kingdom Come, because they are furiously trying to set up an incident. It's the only way, no matter what you think of them, people. Look, my Republican buddies who are still on the, you know, the bandwagon, or the first ones to tell you, the only people who can get Bush out of trouble is Bin Laden. And they believe Bin Laden is a guy with a cell phone in a cave in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, even the people who are Bush's side say that the only answer for Bush is what we think they're trying to set up. So this is all coming within our mission 666. We're going to keep fighting it through because we're targeting the idea that Bush would love to pull something off June 6, 2006, 666. Mm-hmm. And say, by the way, that Al-Qaeda did it to get even with us for D-Day because it's the D-Day anniversary.
That's right, it is, isn't it?
60. Oh, yes, you see, that way you get the cult thing from the little satanic Illuminatus like Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, you can tell the idiots, you know, which is what they regard the American public as being because the American people swallow their lies still. You can tell all the American people that Bin Laden did it because he hated us for our great heroic sacrifice in World War II. Remember, they're trying to sell World War III, man.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, World War II iconography, it's a very hot date for them. But aside from that, we're actually probably going to extend this thing out. We might actually, after Mission 666, I'll give you the first, what we call, warning order in the military. I'll let you know it's probably coming after 666. Because, remember, we have caused a great amount of media friction out here in East Texas. These are my old markets. We have cross-referenced and cross-copied everybody from here to Kingdom Come between Houston and Beaumont to what's being set up, and that makes it real difficult for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we may actually be running a mission after 666 comes and goes, God willing. We'll probably be running Mission ID4. Because we're going to run their own movie mission. It's good that you mentioned it today, the Independence Day movie.
Right, right.
Because the next setup time for them may well be the 4th of July weekend. They're setting up the Challenger launch on July 1st. Not Challenger, excuse me, Discovery. The last time the Discovery went up was the day before our July 2005 prediction, and a day later, British Petroleum, Texas City, blew up again. We think that they may use things like the shuttle launch to code in their event. Mm-hmm. And to bring logistical help, you know, media, agents, everything they need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's a NASA story, they get to bring a crew to Houston.
Right, right.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the back in January 31st, when you first got in touch with Ghost Troop, and we said they were setting up British Petroleum, they set up the Ken Lay story to start on January 30th. That's when the trial started. You see, Monday the 30th, everybody's in Houston to cover Ken Lay. That's a nationwide story, which meant they started coming in Saturday and Sunday, the 28th, 29th.
Right.
So they were all ready to go when Texas City was going to go up the 31st. They had a national media presence.
That's right. Everybody was there ready to go.
They had a national media presence in Chicago because they set up that million Mexican march.
The protests were taking place up there while they were running the National Guard exercise, right?
Right. Well, they set it up so that there would be a May Day march, May Day Mexican march in Chicago. And
right.
Chicago was the focus of the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that march was the day before they were going to start that exercise. So, you know, the same M.O.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it may well be that July 1st launch of the space shuttle is another opportunity to bring media and military forces to the Houston area.
And, of course,
NASA headquarters is south of Houston.
And, of course, 7 plus 1 plus 2 plus 6 gets you another, let's see. Yeah, no, I'm okay. My numbers are off. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm
my wife is the expert with the numbers there. But
I haven't been playing the numbers on it too hard. I'm just following that one up non-numerically because of the events that are occurring around
right.
there. But the in and the out of it, folks, is it's going to be a hot summer in Dixie. Well, because these guys have to do it. And you could say that we're the original party poopers. We're going to continue to do everything we can to analyze things that may be coming up, receive whatever good intelligence we can, and encourage a public to enlighten itself. Find out the kind of things that we would tell you if we knew about it for yourself.
Well, Captain,
that might possibly be indications that you're in danger.
We have just scratched the surface of the work that you've done and the work that Ghost Troop has done, and sadly we're running out of time here. Where can people go to find out what you're doing, get up to speed on Ghost Troop, and sign up to participate and maybe funnel some information your way from their local media?
You know, the easiest way to get you there right now is to tell you to go to Google. Google, we use it as our standard reference, and we check how many people are reading which of our articles.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Google and simply type in Ghost Troop and then Captain May. We publish so much, all the way from Pravda to Al Jazeera folks and everyone in between, including America, cyber publishers, a lot of good ones.
Mm-hmm.
We publish so much and we read so much that you can pretty much pick whatever you find interesting in what you have heard me discuss in the last 2 days. And all you got to do is, in your search engine, and we prefer Google, but any of them work, Yahoo, Dogpile, who cares. If you take Ghost Troop and you say, oh, what is Captain May saying about Ghost Troop, Texas City? Okay, Ghost Troop, Texas City. And you're going to pull up pages of web articles we've done. But Ghost Troop, Captain May, the top thing you'll come up with is going to be our main site. And our main site, we've been using it since the July 2005 mission. In Texas City, it's got my current links, it's got my most recent stuff, and it's got the sign-ups. You can reach us through Yahoo Ghost Troop Group, and mm-hmm. you can sign up that way. So we have, our ranks are swelling. When the Texas City January 31st happened, and you were in on it,
mm-hmm.
we went from about 60 members to up to, well, pretty close to 200, and since then we've climbed to pretty close to 300. So that's from 60 to 300 in 6 months.
That's just an indication of how eager people are, I think, to find out what's really going on. And I think there's a growing realization among the American public and people around the world that we're not getting the truth from the sanitized media that comes through the cable plugged into the back of the TV set.
The American people want to be shown the truth. And shown the truth, they will do the right thing. That's the whole premise of the contract of American government with the American people, as expressed by the Constitution. But if ultimately they destroy their own constitution, the government needs to understand that constitution represents government's pact with the people, but also the people's pact with government.
Mm-hmm.
And the document right beneath the constitution is a declaration, man. In other words, they're playing with fire. You know, an idiot like Bush is born to play with fire. That's why they put him in this position as president.
Mm-hmm.
But he's playing with big fire because the public is waking up. And the public is rallying to groups like Ghost Troop. You know, we're the hard edge of the info war, man. We've been up places like Camp Casey. We were with Cindy Sheehan a year ago. And we were part of that whole thing. And that's good. That's great. But, you know, we get out with everybody who wants to stop a criminal war, and we're allies with all that. But our specific function is mission of conscience, military professional. You know.
Well, Captain, we appreciate your work, and we appreciate your time, especially over a holiday weekend, to spend some time talking with us. We look forward to continuing to share intelligence, share information with you, and we'd like to have you back again as the summer wears on, and just pray that we've got some more time, some more days, some more weeks and months to keep make people aware of what's going on. Captain May, thank you for being our guest on PID Radio.
Been great, Eric. Thank you very much.
It's Captain Eric May, and I'll put links to his website, the Ghost Troop website, and also the Ghost Troop Yahoo group in the show notes at PIDradio.com. And one of our listeners, Roger Taggart, sent a note today, an article that he forwarded, which touches on something that I've heard Captain May discuss elsewhere. We didn't really get into it in this interview, but it concerns the Battle of Baghdad. It was a report filed by a freelance writer from England, Joe Wilding, to an online blog called Electronic Iraq, right after the Battle of Baghdad, or in the months following the Battle of Baghdad. It was a follow-up about people who lived along the fence around the outside of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilding reported that there was an enormous increase in allergenic respiratory and skin problems with no apparent trigger, in particular a rise in three conditions, hair loss, psoriasis, and skin problems. They also mentioned that people were reporting white patches on the skin, areas on the skin which turned black and then the skin peeled off, or blisters or bubbles on the skin. They also reported that immediately after the bombing of the airport, during that battle that mm-hmm. Captain May talked about, thousands of trucks started removing soil from the complex. Fresh soil was brought in. Nobody knows where the soil was dumped that they took away. Fresh soil was brought in, and about a month after the bombing, trucks started leaving loads closer to the fence where people lived and basically dropped a lot of rubble and metal and so forth closer to the between the homes of the people outside the airport complex and the airport itself so that people couldn't get into the grounds.
I'm sure our listeners are catching on.
Yes.
It sounds like radioactivity.
Yes. A study conducted in November of 2003 by the Uranium Medical Research Committee said that witnesses living next to the airport report that 3,000 civilians were incinerated by one morning's attack from aerial bursts of thermobaric and fuel air bombs.
3,000?
Yes.
Now, and what was the source on that again?
This is the Uranium Medical Research Committee. Now, I don't know what the group, what that group is, or...
And this is dated when?
This is dated November of 2003. The Battle of Baghdad took place, if I'm not mistaken, in March of 2003.
Right.
But the, well, thermobaric bombs are really hideous. Basically, it's a fireball so intense that it sucks all of the oxygen in the area into the exploded area.
Mm-hmm.
And the rapid change of pressure can do some very ugly,
yes.
horrible things.
Horrible things.
Yes, to people that are too close to it. And we won't describe it here
no,
because...
No, but you can do the research online.
Yeah, I will put a link to this article in the show notes. But this touches on something that I've heard Captain May discuss elsewhere, in that we may have used weaponry in the critical moments of that battle for the airport in Baghdad that has never been revealed to the American public. Weapons that we may not even admit to having.
Let me share one last thing. This goes along with this. It's a story that's in Watcher magazine today, and it has to do with Trident missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the government wants to switch out the nuclear warheads in some of the Trident missiles with non-nuclear warheads.
Okay.
The Trident missiles they're fired from Trident submarines,
mm-hmm.
which allows you to have a preemptive strike
mm-hmm.
or a reactive strike. But they're wanting to go for preemptive from a safe distance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the country that's being bombed does not know what's in that missile.
Right. All they are going to be able to tell with their radar is that there's a missile coming and that it's been fired from someplace offshore.
It's like Trident roulette.
Yes.
You don't know what's coming at you. Either way, it's not good because it's a missile, but the nuclear warhead is mm-hmm. far worse. This is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth they want to do this is beyond me. Well, we want to do it because we don't want to nuke people, but we want to be able to, you know, do a preemptive strike against somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying who,
yeah.
but he lives over in Iran.
Well, there are some discussions taking place right now in the halls of power in Washington, D.C. Congress and the Pentagon are arguing back and forth. The Pentagon wants to make this switch, and Congress, there are some cooler heads in Congress that are saying this could start a nuclear war.
You know, there are so many divisions right now between Congress and the executive branch. And let's face it, the Supreme Court, for all intents and purposes, has become part of the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we've got two, and that ain't bad.
That's right. And we should point out that when we say the Pentagon, we don't necessarily mean the military men inside the Pentagon.
No, we're talking about...
It may well be the citizen
exactly.
soldiers at the top
exactly.
of the heap in the Pentagon who
and
want
that,
this.
That, I know,
the neocons.
Drives some of the military men crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well...
Interesting times in
yes.
which we live, and it's not even June yet.
Well, it's a good thing the Cubs aren't in the race, because that would only be a distraction. So
you never know, honey. They could pull it out. They could if they win every game between now and September.
Yeah, and just as they're about to clinch their first pennant and go to their first World Series since 1945, we'll see Jesus coming back in the clouds and millions of Cubs fans.
No!
Wait! Oh, we jest, of course. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, starting tomorrow, we've got Peter Goodgame for three nights. Peter Goodgame has got some excellent connections that he's drawn between ancient Babylon and prophecy.
That's
and
right.
You're
going to
talk
that.
About that for the next few nights. Don't miss that.
And then winding up the entire prophecy series. We have Mr. David Lowe coming in to talk about his theories, and I think he's got a very interesting new model. It's he reveals in his book called Earthquake Resurrection.
Yes, and he'll be here next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, barring any last-minute exciting changes on 66 of 06. So, meanwhile, we will be happy to take your comments, questions, bouquets, and brickbats via email at radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And we'd love to have you join us at the forum, and lately we have had many people do that, so come on in. The water's fine. It's peeringintodarkness.com/forum.
Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Have a great evening.
Gonna step up to the microphone.